Built of butter-yellow sandstone blocks hand-hewn in quarries 500 miles eastward, the house had two stories and was constructed on austerely Georgian lines, with large, many-paned windows and a wide, iron-pillared veranda running all the way around its bottom story. Gracing the sides of every window were black wooden shutters, not merely ornamental but useful. In the heat of summer they were pulled closed to keep the interior cool. Though it was autumn now and the spindling vine was green, in spring the wisteria, which had been planted the day the house was finished 50 years before, was a solid mass of lilac blooms, rioting all over the outer walls and the veranda roof. Several acres of meticulously scythed lawn surrounded the house, strewn with formal gardens, even now full of color from roses, wallflowers, dahlias, and marigolds, a stand of magnificent ghost gums with pallid white trunks and drifting thin leaves hanging 70 feet above the ground, shaded the house from the pitiless sun, their branches wreathed in brilliant magenta, where bougainvillea vines grew intertwined with them. Even those indispensable outback monstrosities, the water tanks, were thickly clothed in hardy native vines, roses and wisteria, and thus managed to look more decorative than functional. Thanks to the late Michael Carson's passion for Drogheda Homestead, he had been lavish in the matter of water tanks. Rumor had it Drogheda could afford to keep its lawns green and its flower beds blooming, though no rain fell in 10 years. As one approached down the home paddock, the house and its ghost gums took the eye first, but then one was aware of many other yellow sandstone houses of one story behind it and to each side, interlocking with the main structure by means of roofed ramps smothered in creepers. A wide gravel driveway succeeded the wheel ruts of the track, curving to a circular parking area at one side of the big house, but also continuing beyond it, and out of sight down to where the real business of Drogheda lay. The stockyards, the shearing shed, the barns. Privately, Father Rafe preferred the giant pepper trees which shaded all these outbuildings and their attendant activities to the ghost gums of the main house. Pepper trees were dense with pale green fronds and alive with the sound of bees, just the right lazy sort of foliage for an outback station.